This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Just days before this election season comes to a close, we're taking a few moments to hear closing arguments from candidates running for statewide office. Yesterday on All Things Considered, we spoke with Democratic gubernatorial hopeful State Senator Dan Feltes. And today we're speaking with incumbent Republican Governor Chris Sununu. Governor Sununu, welcome to the program.
Absolutely. I know it's kind of a crazy time for everyone, but always happy to just to hear what's going on out there. You guys are right on the pulse of a lot of different communities across our state. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for saying that. And we wanted to give you this opportunity, Governor Sununu, to make your closing argument ahead of the election day. Why should you be reelected as governor?
Well, I tell you, the state has gone through a lot over the past year. And if we've learned anything, it's about management. You got to have the right team. You got to hold folks accountable to results. I think we've gotten tremendous results here in the state. And looking forward, because elections need to be forward-looking, you have to look at what are the challenges going to be. It's going to be making sure our economy is back on track. I think we've had a tremendous record with that, with one of the strongest economies on the East Coast. You got to make sure that you're managing COVID, because we're not out of this on January 1st by any means. So over the next year, there's going to be a lot of different dynamics of managing COVID and testing in schools and contact tracing. We've done a tremendous job. The team has done a great job with that, and I think again, we need to make sure we keep the management in place and those metrics, if you will, in place as we go forward. A lot of folks, what I'm hearing out there, people are concerned about safety in their communities. And, you know, we've, I think, done a very good job bringing law enforcement together, trying to take steps, progressive steps forward, the right steps forward. If anything, I think the LEAC Commission, the Law Enforcement Accountability Commission that we put together in 60 days, came back with dozens and dozens of recommendations that everybody could agree on. One thing I just keep going back to is results, accountability. You have to hold everybody, whether you're on the planning board or you're running for governor. Everyone has to be held to the accountability of their results, and I think we've gotten very good results here, and there's clearly still a lot of work to do.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the work left to be done. If you're reelected, you're going to be faced with a number of pandemic-related problems, which will likely persist even after a vaccine is developed and distributed. And one of those is that kids will likely have not progressed in their education as well as they otherwise would have during the pandemic, given all the COVID-19 disruptions to schooling. This slide will only increase between now and when a vaccine is available, and it'll be worse for kids whose parents aren't resourced enough to provide various forms of technology, for example. So, Governor Sununu, what is your plan to provide an equitable catch-up plan for these families after we have a COVID vaccine and people can safely go back to school?
Well, first, I think you've hit the nail right on the head. This is going to be one of the biggest issues we have, which is why I'm so adamant about getting schools open. We have the data to show it. 85% of schools in the state are open in some form, whether it's a hybrid or fully open model. No outbreaks to date. We know we may have outbreaks, and we have a few cases here and there, of course. But the fact that at a local level, by providing the flexibility we did, we were able to have that success. And it's one of the most common things I hear from parents out there, not political, not Republican or Democrat, or across the board, saying our kids got to get back in school. They have to resocialize. They have to get back in because they're seeing the model work in so many other parts of the state. So technology, broadband. I'm one of the only states in the country with CARES Act funds. We created an infrastructure fund, if you will, for about $14, $15 million of new broadband. And that's going in right now as we speak, which is really, really great. The next piece is also transportation. A lot of times, it's a combination of transportation and childcare, but taking childcare to the next level. So we got this education development grant, $26 million that UNH and the state worked on, that's going to take early childhood education development to the next level, making sure they have the technology, right? We're providing that opportunity at a very early age, I think is going to be a big piece of this. And then finally, it can be something as simple as cell towers, right? So cell towers can get you that technological connection if you don't have the fiber in the ground. I've put 50 cell towers up with a partnership I created with AT&T in the past year. There's more going up next year, but that's another big piece.
Well, let me ask you about energy infrastructure, because you have derided your opponent, Senator Dan Feltes' support for small-scale solar power as essentially crony capitalism. The State Site Evaluation Committee just approved the state's first utility-scale solar array, 30 megawatts for the New England grid in southwestern New Hampshire, from NextEra, which owns Seabrook. Do you want to see the state allow more of these, or do you have the same concerns about larger solar farms as you do smaller ones?
Yeah, no. So just be clear, I want the small solar. It's these larger groups, the net metering piece to the very large arrays that cost, that over the next 10 years will literally cost a couple hundred million dollars to every ratepayer. Whether you're low income, whether you're fixed income, every time you turn on a light, you're getting charged. The better way to do it is to take, to go really small with it and to focus the solar on places like apartment buildings and mobile home parks and long-term care facilities or 55 and up type communities. Those that are least able to pay that very high subsidy should be first in line to get the economic benefit. And then we all get the environmental benefit.
You've been working with Democratic majorities, and they've passed a lot of bills, and you've issued a record number of vetoes. If reelected, can you anticipate an area of compromise you'll make with Democrats to achieve policy success?
So I made a record number of vetoes. I also signed more legislation in 2019 than Maggie Hassan ever did. Nobody ever wants to talk about the number of bills that I did sign, right? So even...
No one doubts that you've signed quite a bit of legislation. I was simply asking about compromise areas that you would foresee in the next 2 years.
Yes, because with a Democrat legislature in 2019, I signed more bills than my predecessor, showing that obviously we have the ability to compromise, find common ground, move things forward. We stood together when we said we were going to support individuals with pre-existing conditions. We stood together on the pharmaceutical the ability to have a more flexible market with pharmaceuticals and drive the price on pharmaceutical drugs down. We stood together when we put the insulin caps on. I'm one of the only Republicans in the country standing against my party supporting the Affordable Care Act in the Supreme Court, right? We're going against the Trump administration. We're going against other Republicans on that issue because at the end of the day, my job's to look out for the 1.35 million people in the state. And we put politics aside and we get it done.
I want to ask you about mask mandates, because you've been opposed to a statewide mandatory mask mandate. If you knew that a mandatory statewide mask mandate could prevent COVID-19 from taking one more life, would you issue such a mandate?
Well, that's a completely theoretical and false question.
It's actually not. It's not, because 12,000 infectious disease experts say federal mask mandate needed to save lives. That certainly would apply to New Hampshire.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to reject your question there, because the idea that we've shown here in New Hampshire, we have one of the best models in the country, and the result. And how do I know that? Because we have some of the lowest COVID rate. So we've shown that we've created a great balance. When a city or town says we want to do a mask mandate, absolutely, especially in the southern tier, because we have to understand what's happening. 60% of our towns have no COVID. Maybe 55%, I think, was today's number. Zero cases of COVID in over 50% of our cities and towns. Now, the ones that do have the higher rates, of course, most of those already have mask mandates they've put into place. We're supportive of those, and I think that's absolutely fine. So the answer just isn't do a mask mandate and cover yourself. The answer is have a model that works and finds that balance in your community.
Governor Chris Sununu, thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Thank you.
That's Republican Governor Chris Sununu. Yesterday on the program, we heard from Democratic challenger, State Senator Dan Feltes. You can find that conversation and all of the conversations in our closing arguments series at nhpr.org.